The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
The News Round on Off the Ball
with Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
All right, you're welcome along. It's Thursday's Off the Ball. Nathan with you until 10 o'clock. Busy show as always. John Giles will be with us at 7:30 as Manchester City march on towards the Premier League title. After 8 o'clock, we'll be looking at the GAA's annual report. Tom Ryan described the financial situation as very grim as they lost $68 million in revenue last year. Will O'Callaghan was there for the briefing yesterday. He'll talk us through the main points and we'll talk about what it means at ground level with John Mond, the Offaly football manager. Still no clarity as to when the inter-county season is going to return. And after 9 o'clock, we'll be keeping a close eye on all the evening's Europa League. We'll be looking ahead to the Merseyside derby. And we'll be going to Italy. We will check in with the Republic of Ireland defender Louise Quinn. She's playing with Fiorentina over in Italy at the moment. A big game against Manchester City coming up in the Champions League for her. 53106 is the text number. Add off the ball on Twitter if you want to get in touch. Richie McCormack, good evening.
How are you, Nathan?
I'm all right. Joe Malloy, good evening.
Gents, evening.
Thursday night's Europa League. This is what it's all about, eh?
It sure is. Watch the first half from, this is a weird thing to say, from Juventus's ground between Real Sociedad and Manchester United with no crowd. But this is the world we're living in. United full value for that lead. They should be ahead by more. Marcus Rashford missed a few really good chances. And then, needless to say, Nathan, Bruno came to their rescue.
That man.
Yeah,
he has qualified for that man status, hasn't he?
Oh, he most certainly has. He is that man.
He really has. And he does things where you're wondering, why don't other players do this more? As in, as a midfielder, he spotted that the Real Sociedad defence is not full of speedsters. So he started running in behind them. And in the end, perversely, it was Marcus Rashford who chipped the ball over for him. And he was in behind them. And the goalkeeper and two defenders ran into each other and he had the easiest of finishes. But he just has this intelligence whereby he'll analyse the game very quickly. He'll get a sense of who he's up against, where the areas of weakness are, and then he'll punish them. And, you know, I was watching, you know, Niall Quinn on commentary was saying, not the fastest defence. Bruno sensed that, started making runs in behind. Go.
It's almost impossible to be critical of Bruno Fernandes when you look at his goal scoring record, his assists, and what he's done for Manchester United. I think as a force of personality as much as anything else to go along with that. It doesn't feel like he's been playing particularly well, though, over the last couple of months. That even watching the game against West Brom, he scores this wonder goal. But for the first half, you're looking at him, he's giving the ball away cheaply. He's sort of thrown his arms up in the air. That the overall form, maybe, of Bruno Fernandes has dipped from where it was for the first 6-7 months. And Manchester United need that back quickly.
I think it has in general play. I'd agree with that, yeah. I think he's frustrated at times with his teammates. We saw that against West Brom. At the weekend, he's throwing his hands up, gesturing to the crowd that isn't there, as if to say, look what I'm working with here. And maybe a degree of tiredness has set in. He's moved. New country, a lot of pressure, got off to a brilliant start. Very quickly, the weight of expectation was on him. A lot of games. He was very quiet against Liverpool in the big game recently. He's still coming up with the moments because the quality is there. But I would agree with you, in general play, he probably hasn't been as consistently brilliant across 90 minutes as he was maybe initially.
Spurs are playing at the moment as well, Richie. And Gareth Bale is having one of those nights. He's got a goal, he's got an assist, and he is living Joe Malloy's dream. He has his agent saying at 31, yeah, he's retiring soon. He's going playing golf.
Yeah, he's living the dream, isn't he? It's a weird one. Like, we saw that Jonathan Barnett quote the other day where he said he's nearing the end of his career. You'll have to ask Jose why he's not playing more, etc., etc. And he seems to have settled into this rut of playing in cup competitions. He's only made, what, 4 Premier League starts this year. He's been a near ever-present in the Europa League. He started almost all the cup games and scored in half of them. And he scored again tonight. It's whether or not he's happy enough to be in this role. And I would think that he probably is. He's not exactly arsed on being the Ballon d'Or contender that he might have been 5-6 years ago. I think he's quite happy to collect his check, do what he's asked to do on occasion, and kind of not put in the minimum effort, but certainly put in no more than is required from him at the moment. It's a really weird position for somebody of his calibre and his talents to find themselves in. To a degree, I can understand it. On the other hand, you kind of find it very difficult to stomach given the money that he's on.
Yeah, and like it's quickly been forgotten just how brilliant he was. The goal he scored tonight, Joe, I don't know if you saw it, he makes a run into the area, he does this check back, and he just smashes it in from close range with your left boot, and you're thinking, I caught him on Premier League years recently from his last year at Spurs before he went to Real Madrid, and there have been few more transformative figures over the space of a couple of seasons than what Gareth Bale did with Tottenham. And then it got even better when he went to Real Madrid. To see him now at 31, just washed up, and not seeing that bothered about it. I wonder in a decade, when he's doing the circuit, if he's doing the circuit, because he won't need the money to do the circuit, is there going to be any regret? Like, what is his legacy? Is it as one of the greatest British players of all time, which is where it sort of looked it was going to be around Euro 2016 when he's getting Wales to a European Championship semi-final?
It's a really, that's a hell of a question. What's his legacy? Because you'd be tempted to say unfulfilled potential, but that's not a nuanced enough view of a guy who's done what he did in European Cup finals, scored the goals he scored to win European Cup finals, amazing moments at Real Madrid. As you said, that those final couple of seasons at Spurs, especially when he moved in centrally, were ridiculous. And yet, it's a frustrating view, isn't it? I mean, when you look at Ronaldo at 36, the shape he's in, the desire he has, that light seemed to go out in Bale a couple of years ago now. I mean, you have to remember he was off to China. He was, let me go, I'm done. Like, that's quasi-retirement. So, I mean, that he has down tools in effect when it comes to, you know, what it takes to be elite is not the question. The really interesting question is why. I would just love in an unguarded moment to know why. Why? Because it doesn't make sense. There's a long career afterwards to play golf. Maybe he feels his body deserted him and he knew it wasn't there. And maybe when you've been so great, it's hard to get the motivation to just be very, very good. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's something we don't know about. But it's a question. And you're talking about being on the circuit. Put it this way, Nathan. It's a question he can get used to being asked across his 40s and his 50s and his 60s. And it'll be really interesting to see, one, what the reason is, and two, to what extent he has regrets.
Yeah, who knows, Joe? Somewhere down the line, maybe we'll cross paths and get that opportunity.
Look, he's on Golf Weekly in a few weeks' time.
Well, that's probably the most likely scenario for Gareth Bale right now. Richie, there is a lot of Europa League going on tonight. Yeah. What's the latest?
Into the second half, deep into the second half in those 5:55 starts in the Europa League. Manchester United now 2-0 up away to Real Sociedad. It is that man, Bruno Fernandes, who's gotten their second tonight, just shy of the hour mark. Still scoreless in Prague, where Leicester are up against Slavia Prague. Ex-Bray teenager Shane Flynn is on the bench again for Leicester. And Wolfsburg have pulled one back, technically at home, to Tottenham, of course, as you mentioned, that game being played in Budapest. Son Heung-min, Gareth Bale, Lucas Moura with those goals inside 21 first half minutes. They have pulled one back, have Wolfsburg, through Michael Liendl through the penalty spot. There's an 8 p.m. start in Rome, where Arsenal will face Benfica, and at the same time, Rangers are in Belgium to go up against Antwerp.
I say Thursday night's Europa League, Joe. Thursday night really is all about Riviera, beautiful Riviera, LA, Beverly Hills, Hogan's Alley, you name it. One of the best fields of the year already, 8 of the world's top 10. Have you got a glimpse of it yet?
Little glimpse was watching some of Adam Scott and Bubba Watson and DJ. They're all in the same group. So I think McElroy's out in the last while. As you said, this one's always a really good tournament. Lots of quirky holes. Has managed to withstand the onslaught of technology and still really hold up. And there's a certain glamour there. Like, we had Colin Byrne on Golf Weekly this afternoon, if anyone wants to listen, the caddy of 30 years plus now at Westhaven. And we were just asking him about Riviera. And he was like saying, look, it's you know, beautiful place. And the other thing you have to really imagine is that it's this rare piece of lush land surrounded by mansions.
And if you're a caddy, are you staying at the Holiday Inn? I guess you are.
I mean, 30 years ago you are. These days the caddies are doing okay, Nathan.
Yeah. If you're Louis Westhuizen's caddy now, like Louis Westhuizen, like that is just wheelbarrow stuff. Yeah.
We didn't quite put it to Colin in those terms, but
like one of the steadiest golfers around. You know Louis Westhuizen's going to win 2-3 million. You're getting 10%.
No, the maths are good. And he was saying he's only had two tournaments with Westhuizen. He shot a 63 at Phoenix, I think in the third round. And he was just making the point, like, this was an easy 63. Like, I've seen 63s in my time, and this was just effortless, you know, and there is something effortless about West Hazen. So, yeah, they've got a busy, they're into Florida now and then Masters before you know it. So, Colin Byrne won a, well, he was on Retief Goosen's bag in 04 for the US Open win. So, another major would be a nice little swan song.
Yeah, certainly would be, and probably an overdue second for Louis Westhuizen as well. Golf Weekly, by the way, moving to Patreon on March 10th. That's why I wasn't there for Colin Byrne. You know, I'm saving my best stuff for when the money starts flowing in, Joe, so didn't want to be giving it away all for free today. But I'm sure the Colin Byrne stuff is brilliant, and it's up online right now. Get onto any of our social channels. But as I say, from March 10th, we're on Patreon. Members will be able to enjoy a guaranteed podcast every week, along with added bonuses like exclusive access to a Discord community, watch-alongs during the majors, and big interviews like the one you heard last night with Padraig Harrington. Sign up now at otbsports.com/golfweekly. It is $3.99 per month, or just search Golf Weekly on patreon.com. And we've also got a brand spanking new Golf Weekly Instagram page, Golf Weekly OTB, if you want to follow us there as well. What else you got for us, Richie?
Jonathan Sexton and Conor Murray both set to be fit for Ireland's Six Nations game with Italy next week. They missed the defeat to France with respective head and hamstring injuries. Dave Kilcoyne also likely to return, having missed the French loss with a calf issue. But number 8 Caelan Doris is out for the foreseeable future, according to Andy Farrell, after seeing a neurologist to get to the root of concussive symptoms that saw him miss the first two matches of the championship. With just two tries from their opening two games, Farrell was asked today by our own Neil Tracy what short-term fixes he can make to rectify Ireland's bluntness.
The biggest thing for me is our understanding of our game, understanding, but at the same time, understanding where the space is, you know? And like I keep saying to you boys, and I ain't trying to make this complicated at all, because it's not complicated. It's unbelievably simple. The run kick or pass element, as far as game understanding or decision making is concerned, is where you can put pace onto the ball. You know, sometimes it's in front of you, sometimes it's to the side of you, sometimes there's no option whatsoever other than to run with brute force and do your best. You know, to do all that, you've got to be set and ready to go as a team, nice and early in the piece, because you don't get time at international football to do anything different if you're not set nice and early. Therefore, those spaces that you would normally set up at Pro 14 level, etc., tend to be there 30 seconds later, and they're not anymore. So we are creating opportunities through our game understanding. Are we seeing all those opportunities that we're creating, or executing on those opportunities that we're creating? No, not at this moment in time. That's obviously the work on, and that's where we need to get to.
Coming out fighting there, Andy Farrell.
Yeah, as he's entitled to do. I mean, what he's referencing there, Eddie O'Sullivan did a good piece in Against the Head where he just showed on numerous occasions Ireland creating overlaps and not taking them, inexplicably not taking them. And that's a real worry. You don't know why
is that a lack of confidence?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, Keith Wood felt there's a lack of confidence in their passing. Neve Briggs was saying something similar last night. Like, there's a degree of confusion about it, to be honest, because you're talking about, in Ringrose and Henshaw, Sam Warburton did his Lions team as it stands. He had the two lads in. You're talking about Keith Earls. You're talking about Hugo Keenan, showed great hands and vision at Thomond Park a few weeks ago. James Lowe likes to express himself. He doesn't strike me as a fella lacking confidence. So, genuinely, no one has a great answer. You know, we talked a lot of rugby this week, and as to why they're not taking those overloads, or those overlaps, rather, I don't know. I don't know. It's a really interesting question. You'd love to get a player on and get their sense of things.
Yeah. So you mentioned there that Sexton and Murray back, but some team news for Leinster, which is quite interesting, Richie.
Yeah, it looks like we're going to see the Byrne brothers lining out together for Leinster for the first time in tomorrow's Pro 14 trip to the Dragons. Harry starts at out half with Ross at inside centre alongside the returning Rory O'Loughlin. Jack Conan will win his 100th cap for the province, and Leinster head coach Leo Cullen says playing both Byrne brothers has been an intention of his for a while now.
Ross came back anyway, so we were keen to accommodate him and get him involved. Harry, you might have seen down at the Aviva, but he got called in late with Johnny pulling out last week. So, great. Obviously, the two of them, they know each other very, very well, having kicked ball around the back garden for many, many years together. So, it's something that we wanted to see for a while. So it gives us a chance to see what it looks like. And the two of them have been great as well, you know, both very, very competitive in their own way. And obviously, Ross has played a lot of games for us over the last number of years. Harry's played a lot of games for us this year. I think he's probably had the most starts of our 10s this season, certainly in the Guinness Pro 14. So, yeah, it's a good opportunity for us to see the two of them together.
Part of the problem, I guess, for Harry Byrne is that it's a Pro 14 game at Dragons that you expect Leinster to win by 50 points and nobody ever think about again. So how much, as an Irish coaching staff, Joe, can you actually read into what happens?
That's a good question. It's a good question. Well, look, the verdict is in from Andy Farrell. They are treating these next three games as let's win them all. So the sense seems to be on the various dispatches that Sexton and Murray will come back in for the Italy game. I haven't heard many people advocating that idea. So, you know, 24 games and counting to the World Cup. It's a valuable opportunity to give somebody some game time. I mean, it's notable that Harry is starting at 10. Were he to have a very, very good game. You know, he was due to start for Leinster against Northampton pre-Christmas. Will he be drafted in? He's been in and around the squad a little bit. So, it's a funny thing whereby I think half the country is advocating Harry Byrne's start against Italy, and the percentage you've probably seen him play. You know, it's John Giles, everyone knew his name and nobody had seen him play. Like, there's a degree of that with Byrne. He's been given the big sell. I'd say there might be a few more people than usual keeping an eye on this Dragons game.
Yeah, this is where the Irish system, where they really need to take advantage if they want, if they feel that Harry Byrne is the next big deal. Because I think Keane Tracy had that article about the French conveyor belt, and you look at all these players are at different clubs, whereas all the Irish conveyor belt, it's sort of blocked at the moment at Leinster. That if Harry Byrne, if they were to make a decision, which as you say, it doesn't sound like they're going to, but they could say, well, actually, Harry Byrne is going to start all these big games at number 10 for Leinster, and Johnny Sexton, we're going to put him on ice a little bit, but this is the decision we've made for the betterment of Irish rugby as a whole, and you got to suck it up.
Try telling, well, it'd be fun telling Johnny that, but try telling Leo Cullen that, try telling Stuart Lancaster that. We are absolutely not. We are in it. We are trying to win the European Cup. We're trying to win the Pro 14. So it's really difficult, isn't it? I mean, it's the disadvantage of just four provinces. We have a blockage at Leinster. We have a blockage at Munster. And unfortunately, it's all around the number 10 position. And, you know, the solution really is to let these guys go to London Irish. Let Crowley go over to O'Gara in La Rochelle. Set them free, Nathan, for a year or two or three and hope that they come back, which I think they would. You know, I think is the other point. If you had a Harry Byrne in France for a year or two or three, wouldn't he want to come back and play for his home province eventually and represent his country eventually and might come back with, you know, 30 appearances a season? We just don't have 14 clubs like the French, and it's worked okay for the guts of the last 20 years, like this freak thing where Sexton comes through at Leinster and Rodge comes through at Munster, and it sort of seems to just work okay. And to be fair, they've been unlucky with the Carberry thing, massively unlucky with the Carberry thing, and the Paddy Jackson thing was unforeseeable as well. So it's a lot of things have come home to roost. But for sure, you're right. One of them is just the four provinces is hamstringing us at the moment.
Marcus Rashford's put Manchester United 3-0 up at Real Sociedad. Breakaway goal, 20 minutes left in that one. But an interesting morning at the Australian Open, Richie.
Yeah, United had another one disallowed for offside by VAR in the past few moments too. Naomi Osaka is going to seek a second Australian Open title in 3 years when she faces Jennifer Brady in the final. Osaka ended Serena Williams' quest for a 24th career Grand Slam with a straight sets victory this morning, while Brady needed three sets to beat Karolina Muchova. Osaka was broken in the very first game of her semi-final and admits to being somewhat intimidated by her opponent.
Yeah, I was definitely really nervous and I don't know, it's very intimidating to serve for the first game and see her on the other side of the net. So for me, I felt like I just started making way too much unforced errors because I was worried about what she would do if I were to hit a softball. But yeah, I think when I was like 2-0, I was just telling myself to control what I can control and try to play within myself instead of thinking about what she would do or anything like that.
This Byrne combo is the most exciting thing to happen to the Pro 14 in donkeys. Can't wait to see how it works, says Niall. That's tomorrow night, that game, Richie, is it?
Yeah, tomorrow night.
Can we put the Patreon debate to bed? Any YouTuber worth their salt knows it's Patreon. Smash like and subscribe, says Hot Lips Houlihan. Well, that's what you're going to be getting from Joe Malloy all the time now. Smash like and subscribe.
Shout out to Hot Lips Houlihan. My God. and also Alan Gordon, who makes the point as well. Lads, this is a sports radio show. Can you stop talking about golf?
Dear God, are we still at that? Alan, who's just texted in, is stuck in some sort of an unfortunate time loop, as if he's still 2 weeks behind. He said, hi, Richie. How do your colleagues Gilroy and Sheehan get the Wales game so wrong? How do they explain that the rubbish team are top of the table? I don't know how we're still going on about this. They're back tomorrow morning. Get in touch with them if you're still angry about it.
Adrian Parry's back tomorrow morning.
Maybe he thought that there was just such an avalanche of abuse coming in a couple of weeks ago that he just wanted to wait and have his own moment.
Yeah, that's fair enough. You know, you kind of wait for the backlog to move along, much like in the Irish rugby system, I guess.
All right. On that note, Richie, we got to leave it. Perfect ending.
Go Beans.
That's beautiful, Richie. That was beautiful.
Thanks, man.
Great stuff. Joe, thank you as always.
All right, lads.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm On The Go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.